That's a great song. Now I belong to Jesus, and it's both ways, and he belongs to me. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. We covered a little bit of prophecy last week in the message. And whenever you speak of prophecy, there's a lot of different ideas about it, especially the book of Revelation. We mentioned how the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation go together. And they support one another. They open doors to each other. But prophecy is an interesting study. We don't understand it all. Somebody tells you they have everything understood in the book of Revelation, I would run for the hills maybe. You know, some things aren't real evident. But like silence for a half an hour in heaven. Have you ever read that? I think that's before the ladies get there, but... That's a joke, you know, that's a little joke. But that was a bad joke. Okay, all the guys are laughing, and I apologize to all the ladies. But I mean, there's a lot of different statements in the book of Revelation that we don't understand. But there are some that are pretty crystal clear. As we mentioned last weekend, when we taught through the book of Revelation, the tribulation period is a seven-year period. And when we're in Revelation chapter 13, we're talking about a certain time in that tribulation period. Remember, the church, the saved people, are not going to go through that tribulation period. There will be multitudes saved in the tribulation, but we won't be a part of that. If you're saved, you'll be raptured out before the tribulation period. That's our belief from the scripture. But we're going to look at Revelation chapter 13, and let's start reading in verse 16. The Bible says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the number of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666." Boy, that's an interesting text, isn't it? A lot of surmising, a lot of suppositions on that, but we'll see what the Bible has to say and do the best we can with it. But let's ask God to bless his word. Father, we pray for understanding, and we pray for wisdom. We pray as we speak on this text that we might see signs of the time, and that, Lord, it might stir us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. God, I love you and appreciate you, and open your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a fitting title for the Antichrist, the Beast. We find that all through the book of Revelation. And there is a holy trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there is an unholy trinity. The devil is always trying to copy. We have in Revelation 16, 13, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet." Anti-God. It's anti-Father, anti-Son, anti-Spirit. So that's just a false teaching. We find that the whole world will admire the beast and worship Satan. He deceives the whole world. If you have a Bible and you want to go back with me, go to Isaiah chapter 14. And this is a little background on where the devil came from. He, of course, he's a created being. But he fell because of one thing. He wanted worship. He wanted to be God. And we find in verse 12 of Isaiah 14, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High," the five I wills of Satan. It says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the north. So we know that's true. We know that he is going to be defeated. That's a prophecy and a promise. You have in Matthew chapter 4, if you want to turn there, you don't have to. But in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is on the Mount of Temptation with the devil. And the last temptation, verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou fall down and worship me. The devil's always wanted worship. That's Isaiah 14. That certainly is Matthew chapter 4. And he's the prince and the power of the air. He's the ruler. There's rulers of darkness in this world. But one day, again, all that's going to be wiped away. He's going to be defeated. So that's an interesting text. We have in 2 Thessalonians, if you want to turn there, you don't have to. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, speaking of that Antichrist, it says in verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That is his aim. He wants to take the place of God. Of course, he cannot do that, and he, again, will be defeated. The false prophet in chapter 11 of Revelation duplicates the miracles of Moses and Elijah, those two prophets that are on the earth working miracles. And so all of these things, you know, people say, well, I don't care what the Bible says, I know what I saw. I don't care what the Bible says, I know what I've experienced. You come through the scriptures and you see a lot of that. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Power, signs, lying wonders. You have Matthew 24:24. And there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Great signs and wonders, but these are false teachers, false apostles. That is in a number of scriptures. If you want, turn to Exodus. Exodus, let's see, chapter 7. I think we'll look at a couple verses there. Exodus chapter 7. These are the magicians and those false prophets of Pharaoh back in the book of Exodus. And we find that Moses is doing a work for God, and God is working miracles through Moses, but guess what? They could do the same miracles. We have in Exodus chapter 7, verse 10, Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. That's pretty amazing. And then Pharaoh also called the wise men and sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. They did the same thing. You have, if you will look at verse 21, same chapter, and the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. That was a miracle that Moses performed, verse 22. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. One more verse, chapter 8, verse 6. Aaron stretched out his rod over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. Now, if I was in the land of Egypt, I wouldn't want to duplicate that miracle. Right? You know, frogs everywhere. But the reason they were doing that is they wanted to show they were as powerful as the Lord was. The next verse, and the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Interesting. They're doing the same miracles. But you come along as you read later in these miracles, their power stopped. And they could not defeat the power that God was manifesting there. In Revelation 16:14, it says, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles. Not all miracles, not all things like that are of God. Amen? That's from the scripture. The Antichrist has satanic power. If you're back in Revelation chapter 13, I should have told you to stay there. Amen? Anybody stay there? Okay, good. You know my preaching. But the Antichrist has satanic power through the tribulation period. And it's really, really evident during that time. He has military power. Look at chapter 13 and verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Who's able to make war with the beast? So he uses that during the tribulation period. He has great political power. Look at verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That's a lot of political clout. Remember in Daniel chapter 2, we talked about that statue. And the head was of gold and silver and brass and then iron. And then the feet were iron and clay. That speaks of a revived Roman Empire. We don't have time to develop all of that, but the first one was Babylon, the next one was the Medes and the Persians, the next one was Greece, the next one was Rome, and the one in the last days, in the tribulation time, it's going to be the revived Roman Empire. That's the feet mixed with iron and clay. So just kind of keep that in mind. There were, in Daniel chapter 2, 10 toes. That was an alliance, not an empire. Daniel chapter 7, same four kingdoms, but only described differently as animals. And there were 10 horns there. And we find that truth also in the book of Revelation. And again, it was an alliance of 10 kings. It's the kingdom of the Antichrist. In another thing that he has power in is religious power. Look with me at verse 8. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So there's military power. There's political power. There's religious power. Back in Zechariah, describing the Antichrist, it calls him, woe to the idol shepherd. Not I-D-L-E, but I-D-O-L, the idol shepherd. And so we find all of this power. But in verse 16 and 17, that is our text. Let me read it again. There is a money power. There is a economic power. There's a financial power. And boy, that's a big one. That is the big one. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the love of money is the root of all evil, but what can you do without money? So there's a good tool that money uses. Amen? You get money, you use it for God, you use it for your family, you use it to do God, do good. But here it's all twisted. Look at verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And that is the great power that the Antichrist uses during the tribulation period. It's interesting. I wrote some common day facts down, but there's no question today that we're in a global economy. One country melds with another. There's a World Bank. There's something called the International Money Fund, Monetary Fund. I would have called it Money Fund. One stock market is affected by another one. The trade agreements affect all nations, as we're seeing now with what's going on between Russia and the world. Economic sanctions are used in our world today to control rebellious nations, or at least to give them some kind of heartache. The economy has a powerful effect on our elections. One theme in the election was, it's the money stupid, or it's the, does anybody remember that? No, it's the money stupid. Okay, moving right along. You'll get it later. Give Gino a call later if you remember that. In the tribulation period, the devil uses his most powerful tool. And without this mark, no man can buy or sell. Interesting. The technology today, Revelation 13, 16, he causeth all, both small, great, rich, and poor. There's much in the news today about the oligarchs. Do you know what an oligarch is? It's just a very wealthy, influential person in a government, but not maybe a position in the government. They're just being used. And I've read about they're taking these oligarchs yachts, you know, and it's like a $220 million yacht, and it costs millions of dollars every year just to do the maintenance on it. But they're taking all of those away from them. And anyway, the powerful, the rich, there's coming a day when money won't protect anybody. They have to get this mark. It's interesting. It says that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. This is where it gets interesting, I think. You're a student of the Bible, right? You watch the news and you say, oh, this is in the Bible. Oh, I read this over here. Oh, I see this happening. And rather than becoming afraid or worrying about what's going to happen, you see it just unfolding. And we know the end of the story. Amen? And it's always good to read Revelation 21 and 22. Those are good chapters. All the trouble's over. But there are human implantable microchips. And the Bible talks about in the right hand or in the forehead. And they're a good thing as far as the world is concerned. Infant protection, kidnapped children, wander protection. I remember when we were in Sturgis, we had several ministries in some nursing homes. And in one nursing home in particular, when somebody would go out the door, there would be a buzzer and it would ring. There might be more safeguards on it now. But there was always one person that was always wandering away. And many times when we would go up Sunday afternoon to have our services there, you would see this person walking. And they might have been, I don't know, 100 yards from there, and you'd see a nurse come running out of the door, you know. But it was funny, but it wasn't funny. But anyway, wander protection. Missing persons, you know, they know right where that person is. Patient identification. A doctor can know your problem before you do. It's true. And they put these things under the skin. There can be things in your phone that do that. Joseph Farrar said this. Let's see now. The application is buying and selling. The technology is implantable. The plans are global. Sounds like Revelation 13. It sounds just like it. You know, we're headed to a cashless society. I have, I don't know how many bitcoins I have now. I can't keep track of how many, probably several hundred bitcoins. And I just made all of you my friends, right? Rich man hath many friends. But I mean, it's coming to these things, and we see this all happening. 666, someday the Antichrist will command everyone on earth to have that symbol, that mark, however you want to describe it, in the hand or the forehead. We have federal ID numbers, employee identification numbers, social security numbers, but not the number of the beast. But there's coming a number. And remember, the tribulation has to do with Israel. 7-year period, tribulation. It's a revived Roman Empire. I don't know if you've ever read Roman numerals. You probably have. If you've been to school and you've learned that. I, V, X, L, C, D. Well, I is 1, V is 5, X is 10, L is 50, C is 100, D is 500. I wonder what that adds up to. Let's see here. Carry this 3, plus 666, Roman numerals. We live in a computer age, don't we? Most everybody's got a computer. I know all businesses do. And we're just dependent on computers. But it is www. Right? It's called the World Wide Web. The Hebrew letter for W has a numerical value of, does anybody know the answer to this? 6. Www, 666. The Hebrew letter has that value. Israel is the only nation in the world that uses the Hebrew language. Only nation in the world. Now remember, during the tribulation period, the focus is Israel. The focus is rebuilding that temple. The focus is 3.5 years of peace, a 7-year peace treaty, but in the middle, the Antichrist goes in, sits in the temple, which is not built yet, right? He sits in the temple and he says, I'm God. And then all that terrible tribulation period, all of those terrible things happen. That's recorded in the book of Revelation. But it's all about Israel. The only nation that uses the Hebrew language. Interesting. The false Messiah. People have ideas of who the Antichrist is. Some have said, I better not give names. Pretty soon they'll take me away, you know. But there's all kinds of suppositions. Yeah, this, you add the numbers in his letters, and you put this down and divide it by this and subtract this, and it comes to 666. And, you know, I don't know where they get all that stuff, but there's all that. But it's interesting in Daniel chapter 11, which is about the Antichrist, and I will find the verse. Verse 37, this is about the Antichrist. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. The God of his fathers. And it says, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Isaiah 14, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The God of his fathers. And that's why I believe he's going to be a Jew. He's a false Messiah. Jesus was a Jew. And you find all of this, it's just interesting to study, but it makes us think. You can't buy or sell without a mark. We're already just about in that place. You ever go to the store and you forget your credit card? And you say, don't worry, I think this is my number. Will you just put my number? They'll say, no, go home and get your card. You just can't buy it without the card, right? And anyway, the first electronic scanner for groceries was made by IBM. You know what the number? 3666. It was attached there. There are electronic cash transfers. There are credit reports. There are debit cards at the grocery store. It automatically takes money out of your bank account. Credit card numbers, they're computer verified and approved or disapproved. There's a global network. You can use your credit card in another country, and it's all covered. Government data banks, they know all about you, right? And they're learning more and more about you. Speech recognition, writing letters, translating languages. You can get an app on your phone and go to a foreign country, and you can talk Chinese. I mean, you can't, but the phone helps, right? I can say a little bit of Chinese. Chiang Kai-shek. Okay, you have to be a little older to get. Okay, all right. Alexa knows more about us than you'd really want. They scan your eye. There's a fingerprint. And while studying for this, I did a lot of research on holograms. Do you know what a hologram is? You ever watch Star Wars? Star Trek, Star Wars. Princess Leia, I think it was, and she just shows up. But they are getting so advanced now where they say that you can be in a business and have a meeting with somebody in Germany, and the time is coming where you can physically shake that hologram's hand. Feel that hand. Look it up. Go on YouTube and look up holograms and just read about it. Well, that there's an image of the beast in the book of Revelation. There's a beast and there's an image of the beast. And it's going to be one that can speak. I mean, it's just right there. You can feel and hear what they're talking about coming in the future. Revelation 13, 15. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. I've said this a number of times, maybe just added to a message. I don't know if I've ever taught on chapter 11 and Moses and Elijah, why we believe it's them, and it just different things. But think of a preacher back in 1900 reading Revelation chapter 11, where Moses and Elijah are seen by the whole world. We understand that now, Fox News, You turn the TV on, you can see what's going on right now. I mean, right now, not a recording. But there it is in Revelation chapter 11, so long ago. To feel and hear Revelation chapter 13, this image. Well, I don't think somebody in the 1900s, early 1900s, would have any idea what a hologram was. But now we understand. And I don't know how that connects. But the mark of the beast, the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell. When did the first credit card come out? In the 60s? Was it the 60s? First debit card. I mean, and you just go back and you see somebody in 1900, how in the world will this ever happen? And there's so many things in the book of Revelation that are happening now. And it doesn't mean that they all have to be fulfilled before we get raptured. We're going anytime. We could go right now. But all these things are taking place. Willard Cantillon wrote this. He said, just as the barter system was superseded by money as a form of exchange, so money will be superseded by computer accounting. There is so much paperwork involved in the present forms of transactions that the banks can't keep up. He says the technology has brought us to the point where satellite coordinated, what do they call that, the cloud? I think, computer centers and memory banks will put the transactions of the whole world into one numbered system. No identity cards will be needed, just as the invisible number tattooed on the hand or the forehead. Just an invisible number. Transactions from any place in the world to any other place could be processed through central control in mere seconds. Money would go out of existence, a cashless society. Worldwide finances, crypto currency. I mean, it could be all coming. There's going to be government regulations on that. Billy Graham said, Jesus talked a great deal about money and the problems it causes. In fact, 1/5 of all Jesus had to say was about money. 1/5. Think of that. Erwin Lutzer said, money is emphasized in the scripture simply because our temptation to love it is inexplicably powerful. And it is. It is. It's all about the money sometimes. Hitler rose to power after World War I when the finances of Germany were gone. Nothing was worth anything. And he came on the scene. And they all followed him. Knowing the times. I said a couple things about that last week, and I'm not going to bring that message again. I just want to point something out. But here we are. Here we are. Here's our day. It's Sunday. Okay? We're in church. We're worshiping God. We're learning the Bible. We're just wanting to fellowship with other believers. Our whole focus is on the Lord, and I want to please him today, and I want my loved ones to be saved and my neighbors to be saved, and I want God to bless the church, and we go on and on and on. And the more time we spend in the Bible, we see the heart of God. And when we talk about that, it's not just that God loves us, but the secret, the treasure, the riches of his grace is when we love him. That love for God is so marvelous, so wonderful. And so we live our lives for the Lord, amen? And we want to accomplish something for him. But we know what the times are. These are difficult times, but they're good times because a lot of people are going to come to know the Lord. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's getting close. 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, they were men that had understandings of the times, and so they knew what Israel ought to do. You know, the Bible tells us to number our days so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. Amen? And time is getting short. And the time to serve the Lord or make something count for God is now. We have in 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also, perilous times shall come. So we know this. But we know what's going to take place. And we know that one day we're going to be raptured out. And that's going to be a wonderful day. Amen? That's going to be a great day. But think of the people that will be left behind. The purpose of our church, the purpose of this body of believers when we get together, is to worship the Lord, to encourage one another, so that we can have a testimony when we go out those doors and influence somebody else for Jesus Christ. It's not about what we do in life. It's not about this or that or getting this or that. It's about what can God use me to do. And he's plugged us into different places, has he not? This is my neighborhood. This is your neighborhood. These are my relatives, your relatives. These are the people I work with. These are the people you work with. I went on vacation and I met these people and I saw this person. And you can tell a Christian sometimes. And the fellowship is good, but just to be a witness in this restaurant or that restaurant. That's what it's all about. Amen? Because one day he's coming. One day the trumpet shall sound. One day we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But there are people that need that. They need it now. Amen? All of these things. When you talk about prophecy and this coming, well, you sure about that? See for yourself. Here's what's happening in the world. Here's what God said was going to happen. We understand the time frame. We understand our future. We understand what God is going to do. And we want to get in on it, not just wait for it to happen. Amen? God wants to use everybody here. Everybody here. Bring somebody to church. Witness to somebody. Give them a track. Amen? Anything that will promote the cause of Christ. I want to be a blessing to you and strengthen you so that whoever you come in contact with, you can be a blessing to them. You pray for me. I pray for you. Amen? We pray for our church that God might use this place for his honor and for his glory. Do you know the times? Well, I think I'm looking for the midterms. Yeah. Well, I'm hoping this war with Ukraine is over. Yeah. Well, I'm doing this, and boy, the inflation is really getting out of hand. And man, look at gas prices, and bing, 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 and it's all of this stuff that affects our daily life. But what about our spiritual life? Amen. And to go through life, I know we had men in our church in Sturgis that would give a testimony. One fellow was a good Christian, and they were talking about shutting his plant down. And they didn't, but it was a serious thing. It was a Grumman Olson plant, Sturgis, Michigan. And he was going through that, just trusting the Lord. And there were people that were in that place working with him and said, "How can you be so calm, you know?" And he'd give them their testimony. One of those men came with him to church in our early days and got saved. And his wife got saved. And he's pastoring a church now. And you just see God working. And you know what? Just as a little faith, as a little mustard seed, can really accomplish so many things. Your testimony is so powerful. But these are the days to have it. Amen? And rather than griping about this or griping about that, or, you know, honor the king. Pray for our president. Pray for these people that God gives you a heart for. Because prayer is the only thing that's going to help. I don't know where to go from here. I have such a heart and such a burden that we would just get our focus on winning people, giving the gospel out. Our church being used for his glory. Amen. And this afternoon, we'll have opportunities, I'm sure. May we use them for the glory of Almighty God. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we love you. We thank you for a book that tells us all about you. History, our present, prophecy, our future. Lord, it's all there. And we believe it. May we live it. May we live it. God, I pray that you would encourage our people. Give us all opportunities. Give us all open doors to bring honor and glory to you in these last days. Give us strength. Give us comfort, Lord, that something great would be accomplished for you. In Jesus' name, amen.